Morning, y'all. Thank you for joining us this morning on the Gospel Way radio broadcast. My name's Bradley Boone. I'm the pastor of the Concord Baptist Church, and I'll be your preacher for the next 15 minutes here on the radio, and we trust you'll stay tuned for it. We're looking this week in Genesis 13. We want to get into the Word of God, but first, let me brag on my Savior this morning. What a wonderful time in the Lord last night at the house of God with Brother Greg Withrow, kicking off our series of meetings that we're calling Super Tuesdays. We so enjoyed Brother Greg being with us, and we're looking forward to the rest of these meetings. We think about next week when we have Brother Timothy Rupert with us. We're going to enjoy that, I know. Brother David Edwards on the next Tuesday night, and then the first Tuesday night in May, we'll have Brother Scott Poole with us from over at Center Pigeon Baptist Church. And so we're looking forward to these days of meeting, and we know that these men are going to be blessings as they come and preach to us. And it gives you, the radio audience, an opportunity to come and be with us at the church and not have to miss your regular home church services. So it's every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, and we'd love for you to come be with us there at the house of God. Concord Baptist Church is located 4.5 miles up the Pensacola Road, right outside of Burnsville, North Carolina. We'd love to have you at any or all the services. We don't want to steal you away from a Bible-believing church. But if you don't faithfully attend a Bible-believing church, we'd love to have you. Sunday morning Sunday school begins at 10 o'clock. Preaching hour is at 11. Sunday night services at 6. Wednesday night Bible study, prayer meeting, and preaching service, 7 o'clock. We'd love to have you there at the Concord Baptist Church. Well, I want to go in the Lord in prayer with you this morning. And it seems like today I have on my heart someone who's facing some financial troubles. You're listening to me this morning and you're facing some financial hardships. Maybe you've got some financial decisions to make. We want to pray with you about that. And all of those that are listening this morning, let's pray together. Father, thank you for this opportunity and this open door of the radio. Lord, we're thinking this morning about that one that's struggling financially. God having some financial hardships, doing what they can, but still struggling. Lord, I pray, God, that you would help them and that you would bless them. God, I pray that you'd help everyone that tunes in this way today. Lord, that the Word of God would bless their heart. And Lord, that we would say and do exactly what you would have for us to say and do. Do that now as only you can, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, we've been looking in Genesis 13 this week, and we've been talking to you on the subject or the thought of the danger of edge living. And in particular, we're dealing with Lot, and the fact that in Genesis 13, Abraham and Lot, they have become so increased in goods. And they have so much worldly possession that it brings strife between Lot's herdsmen and Abraham's herdsmen, and that strife eventually leads to a separation between them. And that Abraham gives Lot the opportunity to choose the area in which he wants to live. And Lot looks over the well-watered plains of Jordan. The devil appeals to his flesh with that green, lush cattle land. And his flesh longs for that. And we see that in verse 12 of Genesis 13, that while Lot does not move into Sodom, he pitches his tent toward Sodom, that wicked city. That city in which such wickedness men with men working that which is unseemly, which is spoken of in the book of Romans, is happening as a casual thing there in Sodom. Now, Lot, he doesn't allow himself to go and move all the way into Sodom, but simply pitches his tent toward Sodom. And so we've been looking at this thought of living on the edge. And there's so many Christians these days that, you know, that are pretty regular church attenders, but they live on the edge of ungodliness. And I began yesterday by telling you that One of the greatest problems with living on the edge is a problem of proximity. And so we want to pick that thought up this morning. It's a problem of proximity. And the first thing that I pointed out to you was that proximity allowed adjustment. The devil makes small incremental adjustments in our lives as we become more and more used to and accommodating to what we at one time were appalled about. It becomes more and more commonplace. The devil is in the business of making the abnormal normal, calling that which is good evil, that which is evil good. And that is also the business of this world system, of which he's the prince and the power of the air. And so I pointed this out to you, and I gave it to you in an illustration like this. One night, as they pitched their tent towards Sodom, as they began to lay down and sleep, across the plain wafts the music of Sodom. No doubt Lot's wife said, "Honey, that stuff's terrible. I'm not going to be able to sleep a bat. That stuff's got me all unnerved. It's ungodly. It's not the songs of our God." Lot says, "I know, honey, it bothers me too, but you know, maybe every night the wind won't blow this way, and maybe we won't have to hear it every night." Fast forward a month down the road, and as Lot and as Mrs. Lot get up, one says to the other, "Hey, did you hear that song with such and such a beat and these words in it?" "Yeah, I heard it last night." "Now that's a catchy song. I like that one, don't you?" "Yeah, that one's not so bad. As a matter of fact, I kind of enjoy that. I wouldn't care to go and hear that band myself sometime." You see, what has happened is their proximity has allowed them to adjust. And that's a dangerous thing, Christian. Living near sin, getting toward ungodliness, that proximity will allow you to adjust. Let me say this to you. Proximity not only allows for adjustment, but I want to look today on how that proximity allows for association. Let me say this. If you get near Sodom, you may not go see Sodom, but I guarantee you this, Sodom will come see you. You get close enough, you won't have to go yourself to see Sodom. Sodom will come where you're at. I can almost imagine seeing Lot, his eyes as big as saucers, as his kids run back up toward the tent screaming, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. There's a Sodomite coming through the valley. One of the people of Sodom are coming through the valley." I see Lot as he says, "Quick, into the tent. Into the tent. Everybody hide." He calls for his herdsmen, "Bring your weapons. There's a Sodomite on the horizon. We cannot allow them in here. We can't allow them to infiltrate. We can't allow them to bring in their sin. We can't allow them to bring in their nasty talk." Now fast forward a few months. They're sitting down over supper. Mrs. Lot looks across the table and says, "You know, earlier today I was out on the edge of the pasture land where we've gotten the garden." And he says, "Yeah." And she says, "You know, one of the ladies from Sodom was just nearby there, and I looked at her, and she didn't seem all that bad. And so I called to her, and she came over to me, and we began to talk, and you know, she's a nice lady." And Lot says, "Really?" "Yeah, yeah, she's a nice lady, and the things that she had to say weren't all that bad. And you know, Lot, I think that maybe we've been deceived. That maybe someone's lied to us about how bad Sodom is, because when I talked to her about it, it didn't seem that bad." Lot said, "You know, that's funny that you'd mention that. I happen to have talked to a fellow down there the other day when I was fur trading. I met up one of those fellows from Sodom. I wasn't going to say anything to you about it, but you know, he was a real nice guy as well. He just, you know, he seemed so friendly, and I didn't know if you'd be comfortable with me talking to anybody like that or not, so I wasn't going to say anything, but you're right. These Sodomites, they seem real friendly." And then Miss Lott says, well, what would be the problem, you think, maybe with letting our kids, you know, they're up here and they're by themselves and they're so isolated. And you know what all the psychologists say, Lott? These kids are not going to mature and they're not going to be well-rounded if we don't allow them to have opportunity to socialize with other kids. And Lott says, oh, I agree with that 100%. And really the only kids around here are the kids from Sodom. So what would be wrong if we allowed our kids to play with their kids a little bit and you know, have a relationship there? And I mean, just so that we could socialize them, just so that they could have a little fun. And Lot says, yeah, that I think that would be okay. And see, before you know it, what happens is their proximity has not only brought an adjustment to the lifestyle of Sodom, but it has also brought an association. Now they have ties. Now they have people who they know, who are practicing, who are living in that city. Now, I'm not going to say to you today that you hadn't ought to have any lost friends. I have folks that are my friends that are lost. Not my closest acquaintances, but friends that are my friends. And I believe for a man to have friends, he's got to show himself friendly. And I believe you ought to be friendly to lost people. I believe all that. But I'm going to tell you something. There ought to be something that is different about the Christian. There ought to be a change that is made. There ought to be a separation. There ought to be a standard in the Christian life. But when we live on the edge, when we live on the edge through association, we become dull. Through association, we start to accept things we would never have accepted. And then the first thing you know, we've got associations. We've got people who are our friends, people who are our associates, people who have a vested stake. And then let me say this. The third problem with proximity is a problem of alienation. Not only was Lot facing the daily influences of Sodom, but every day that Lot lived and leaned more towards Sodom, he leaned farther away from Abraham and the blessings of God. You see, it was a problem of alienation. The fact is that a man can't love the world and God. He's going to have to pick one or the other. And once a man starts leaning toward the things of the world and starts living like the world, the more of the world that you have, the less of God that you'll receive. Let me say this to you this morning. Our churches have become so worldly. I mean, we've darkened them up to where they look like a disco when you walk in. You can't tell the difference in the music between that and a club. We say it so that we can appeal to a new generation. We've got to change, preacher. We've got to change in order to accommodate this new generation. But actually, what you're saying is we've got to lean more toward their way. We have got to associate more. We've got to adjust more. But the sad fact is that in our adjusting toward the world, and in our associating with the things of the world, we're more and more alienating ourselves from God. The Bible tells us to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And the closer that we get to the world and the more like the world we look, the more of the songs that we sing of the world and the more things of the world we embrace, the less we look like Jesus and the less of the touch of God that we have on our lives. Proximity allows for adjustment. Proximity allows for association. And proximity provides alienation. Well, our time's again come and gone. We trust that today's radio broadcast was a blessing to you and that you'll tune in again tomorrow for a continuation of this message. Until then, this is Bradley Boone, the pastor of the Concord Baptist Church, saying may God richly bless you is our prayer.